I'd been talking about obedience, and I said I wouldn't talk about obedience anymore. And I planned something completely different. Alright, let's try a pocket. That should work if it's still on. But anyway, turns out this is somewhat of a follow-up on obedience, maybe. It wasn't intentional, wasn't planned. So we'll see what happens. I've had some changes at work lately, and so anyway, it got me thinking a lot about priorities and what the Lord has called us to do, and what's the most important things in life. And I think we all know what those are, and I'm going to maybe mention some of those briefly, but that's not the full point of the message tonight. Let's pretend that you're a manager for a fast food. I like Chick-fil-A, so say you're the manager for Chick-fil-A, and you hire somebody to work for you. And we'll, I don't think anybody's name is here, Rodney, so we'll choose him. So you hire Rodney. He seems to be a good worker. His job is to wait on the customers by taking orders. He keeps the ice container full, cleans tables, clean the floor, take out the trash. So what's his most important job? Take care of the customers, the sales. Sales is what keeps the business going. So he seems to be a great worker. He works real hard, seems to be doing great, but let's say you start to notice there seems to be a problem. He does really great at keeping nice full. He takes care of cleaning the tables and the floor, but when customers come up to order, he seems to be a little slow about getting there. He just takes his time. He seems to have a problem. Either he doesn't like people, he's scared of people, or he doesn't understand the priorities of the job. So what are you going to do? And the problem is, that's what happens to us. We get busy with all these other things, and we miss the priorities. And that's kind of what I want to look at tonight. God has given us responsibilities as his creatures, and especially as believers. We're to love the Lord our your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. God is supposed to be first and foremost in our lives. Dave talked about that Sunday, that we're to seek after the Lord. And then we're supposed to spend time in his word, prayer. Then next is our family. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. We're to love the brethren. We're to pray for each other. But what I wanted to look at tonight was, are we being good stewards of those priorities and our responsibilities? If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to see how this goes. I was going to go over, we're going to look at two parables, one in Matthew and one in Luke. I was going to go over them individually, and then I decided it may probably would be better if I go over them somewhat together, so that's not what my notes are, so we'll see what happens. Jesus is talking to about his second coming. He's back at the first part of chapter 24. He's talking to the disciples about his second coming. He's just told them the parable of the 10 virgins, and they are to, verse 13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh." So we'll pick up in verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not spread. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gathered where I have not spread. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him who hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then look at Luke chapter 19. These are not the same parable. They have some similarities, but they have a lot of things that are different. And this one, Zacchaeus has been saved, and Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. And it says in verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And if you'll remember, you know that the disciples, they were thinking that Christ's earthly kingdom was coming immediately. He was coming, that he was going to go ahead and set this up. And that was not the case. And verse 12, and he said, therefore a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said to him, also, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, and thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou dost not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Why then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, unto every one who hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies who would not that I should reign over them, bring here and slay them before me. All right. So we see this 2 different stories. The one is with the man who travels into the far country, and then we have the nobleman who is going to receive a kingdom. And both of these speak of Christ. It was a common practice that a master would leave his servants. He would give them money to do business, and to when he came back, then he would give an account to see what they had done. That was a common practice, and the Lord used parables, that the things that the people were familiar with, and especially the one with the nobleman. That was also a common practice, especially with Rome. One of the things, I think Herod, he did it, but there was also Archelaus. Herod had, Archelaus was supposed to succeed Herod, but the people didn't want him to be king, and he went to Rome. He left his servants in charge, and he went to Rome to have the kingdom appointed unto him. And there was, I listed some different ones, and some of the stories were a little confusing, so I kind of give you the basics. Some were, some brothers were involved, and some different things. But when he took over, the the Jews said, well, okay, well, Herod was really tough on us. We'll be a little, you know, if you'll be a little easier on us, then, hey, we'll serve you, no problem. But he turned around and killed 3,000 of them. So they sent a delegation after him saying, he is a terrible king. We hate him. He is not a good, he's a wicked man. So one of the stories said that he came back and the Caesar said, well, if he proves himself virtuous, then we'll make him a king. He can rule for now. And if he makes himself virtuous, if he shows himself virtuous, then we'll make him king. He never showed himself virtuous. The other one said that that it got divided up between the brothers. And so anyway, he came back. He took account of the servants just the same as what was in the story. So this was something the people were familiar with. And so, but we see how well it applies to the Lord Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own didn't receive him. His own creatures, his creation, did not receive him. We hated him. We despised him. The Jews had no room for him at all. They said, we have no king but Caesar. And so he was put on a cross, and he died there for our sins. As we see, there's two different amounts of money that are left. In Matthew, it's the talent. And the talent, according to commentaries I looked at, one of them was saying it was about 15 years worth of wages. The other says about 20 years. So somewhere in that range, it was a good sum of money. The pound, they said in the older commentaries that it was not a lot of money. The other said it was about 3 to 4 months worth of money. So two differences in the amounts of money and the value there. But the real key is the stewardship of what was left for the guys. In Matthew, the servants, it says that once the masters left, he left them, and he says he went and he traded with the same. So it says that the servants went. It means to traverse, travel, depart, make or take a journey. But it's not the same as the master taking a journey. That meant to go abroad. But anyway, so they traveled, they got busy, and they went and traded. And to trade means to toil as a task or an occupation, be engaged in, to labor or trade by work. So these guys, they went out, they worked, and they tried to make an income, make some money for their master. So they were faithful. When the master comes back, he rewards them. He tells them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. And one of the commentaries I was looking at said, observe also the contrast. Thou hast been faithful as a servant, now be a ruler. Thou hast been entrusted with a few things, now have dominion over many things. And I kind of look at that with the talents, you know, 15 to 20 years is, at least now, is about what people work. You know, some of these, the pheasants and all, they probably never even saw that much money. So that was a lifetime worth of work that they, amount of money that they had there. And it was entrusted to them, and he says, that's just a little thing. Let me show you what, a lot of things. I will put you in charge of a lot of things, dominion over. Then we look at the pound, and well, let me back up to the talent again. The slaves came up and they said that he said, when the Lord asked him, he told him, you gave me five and I have gained five more. So the Lord has given us responsibilities, things he has put us over, and we are to work and to labor for him to produce and to honor for him, to bring things to his glory. The pound is different. They don't come up and say that the pound, that I gained anything. Instead, he says the pound gained it. And most of the commentaries I looked at, which I would agree with, believe that this was referring to the pound as a representation of the gospel. And we have no power to save anybody. We can go out and we can give the gospel. And he says, and the master says, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So again, what he says is a little, and you're going, that's a little, but look at the comparison. He was faithful, and it's not that the gospel was little. How hard is it, should it be, to give out the gospel? When something exciting happens to us, we want to tell somebody. We should be that way with the gospel. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to us. We should be wanting to tell others about it. So it should be a small thing to share the gospel. It should be a small thing to be faithful and to tell the best news that has ever been and ever will be. So he says, you've been faithful in a little, have authority over 10 cities. So then we come down to the, and I'm just going to run over these very quickly to kind of get more to the main point, kind of where I'm going with this. We see the two guys who did nothing with the money. One guy, he digs in the ground and buries his. And it says that he went and dug. The word went there means he just stepped over to the side. He just went aside. He didn't go take any journey. He didn't put any effort into it. He went over to the side. He dug into the ground and he buried the money and saved it up for the Lord, hid it so that he could get it when the Lord required it. And one of the things I was thinking of was, you know, we can, the talents, the gifts and things that the Lord has given us, we can take them into the world and try to make them fruitful, and they're not going to produce anything. We make nothing to amount to. Whereas if we go and produce for the Lord, it's an eternal treasure that's laid up in heaven. But we see the difference with these two guys. One of these, the Lord tells him, actually with both of them, Matthew, it doesn't mention it, but in Luke, the master's not saying that he was the type of a master that the servant said. Instead, he is saying, I'm going to judge you by your own words. And there was a couple of things in here I found interesting, especially the parable with the nobleman. To me, they seem to go against human tendencies. If it was me, if I came back to, I had received the kingdom and come back, I'm going to take care of my enemies first. Then we'll worry about settling up these accounts that he's saying are small things. We'll take care of them later. I'm going to wipe out my enemies first. The Lord doesn't do that. He has full control. There is no concern over that. So the next thing was that he judges them out of his own mouth. He does not defend himself. You do not see him come up and say, that's not true. Did you not just see what I did for these other guys? They were faithful in small things. I made them ruler over many things. I made them ruler over 10 cities, 5 cities. He doesn't do that. He doesn't take up for himself at all. Instead, he judges him out of his own mouth. And the thing, I guess, that gets me with that is we all have a standard that we will, that we kind of live by. And hopefully that's biblically based. But if somebody comes up and does something, you're pretty quick to say, hey, that ain't right. And you may have a scripture to back it up, but you may not. But if you don't have one and you say that's not right, that's your standard. The problem is God can take your standard. He doesn't have to have the law. He can take your standard, and we can't live up to our own standard. We will set it, and in this time it's right, but when it's flipped around and the tables are turned and I'm on the other side of it, we go the other way. And so that was one of the things, I guess, that convicted me, is that I can't even live to my own standard, much less to the standard that the Lord has set. We see two different things with these. The one guy, he is cast out into outer darkness. And William MacDonald says it was not his failure to invest the talent that condemned him. Rather, his lack of good works showed that he lacked saving faith. And the picture there in Matthew is with James, that your works are going to show your faith. It's not that you're saved by works, but it's showing the true character inside. And then in the parable on the pounds, he suffers loss, but there's no other punishment mentioned for the guy who laid his up into the napkin. He used the excuse of fear, that he was afraid of the master. We are to fear the Lord, but not to be immobilized by fear. He has given us things to do, and we can see that He gave us His best. We need to be giving Him our best, not sitting back doing nothing. So the thing that really got me, and then the last part of that on the pounds, was bring those mine enemies who would not that I should reign over them. Bring here and slay them before me. And so anyway, we see that that's what's going to happen to all of God's enemies. They will be slain before Him. And I by no way did any justice on those two parables. It was just a quick thing to kind of move us along. We see the graciousness of the Lord in that it is on the faithfulness of what the servants did. The guy that he gained 5 talents and the other one gained 2, they got the same reward. And one of the interesting things there is they were given different amounts according to their ability, but they received the same reward. In Luke, they received the same amount, but they got different rewards. And it's, they were rewarded according to their faithfulness and how faithful they were. And that's what the Lord rewards us on, is our faithfulness to Him. And what we're doing for Him. And the thing is, He has told us that we're going to give an account. And that was the idea of reading these two parables, is that we're going to give an account for the things that we have done. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. And we know that everyone who, there's two judgments mentioned as far as on the individuals, and the first judgment is all those who have not accepted Christ. And that's in Revelation 20, 11 through 15, and at the great white throne judgment. And all those who are not written in the book of life, they will be cast into the lake of fire. In 1 Corinthians 3, we see the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm actually going to back up a little bit. Let's look at starting in verse 6. And Paul is speaking. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So again, this is as far as with the gospel. We can't make the gospel increase. All we can do is share it. We can give it out and we can share it. And we should share it with everyone, not to share it with just the ones who might not pick on us or just our friends or our family. We're to share it with everyone. And God is the one that gives the increase. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's cultivated field. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth on it. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon it, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Now flip over to 2 Corinthians 5. So we see that there are two categories that we can build on, is the gold, silver, and the precious stones, or the hay, the wood, and the stubble. And obviously what's done for Christ is the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. And the wood, the hay, and the stubble is what we've done for ourselves, and that's all going to be burned up. It's interesting to note there are two places in Revelation, and I believe this Revelation 1 and Revelation 2, it talks about Christ, his eyes are as a flaming fire. And you think if he looks upon our works and anything that's not done for him is going to be burned up. In 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 11, back up to verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Revelation 22:12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." So the Lord has told us he's coming back. We're going to give an account. And as far as for believers, it's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. And what does this judgment consist of? It's going to be, as in the in verse 10, it's going to be for the things done in this body, according to what we've done, whether it's good or bad. All those things that we've done since we've been a new creation, since Christ has redeemed us, all those things, whether they're done for him or whether they're done for ourselves. And we can get so caught up in the busyness of life, whether that's work or school or play or whatever, human nature is to please ourselves and to enjoy the pleasures of the world. And of course, we all know that that's not what we're supposed to do, but the Bible says that sin is pleasurable. It's the punishment that's the problem. There's going to be consequences. There's going to be a payday. And that's what I guess has been, I've been thinking about as far as, do I want to stand before the Lord? What am I going to, you know, when my life is goes up to be given account, what is that going to consist of? Is it all going to burn up, or is it going to be something to it? What have I done for him? Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're to build our foundation on Christ, and we need to be spreading the gospel, discipling others, and our testimony needs to be that it honors the Lord, it points others to Christ. Have I taught my children the things of the Lord? Have I taught them discipline? Have I taught them about their Creator? How to study His Word? How to pray? Am I telling them what the Lord has done in my life? Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And there's so many things out there that are good things, supposedly, that rob our time and take away from us. And the question is am I doing that? But more importantly, have I taught them by example? Are you doing these things? Am I doing these things? So how detailed of a judgment will this be? In Mark 4:22, Jesus says, "There's nothing hidden which will not be made manifest." He's going to make it known. There's nothing that's going to be hidden. Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." I'll let y'all define an idle word, but how many are words do we speak? I would say that's pretty detailed. Several studies have been done. How many words do we speak a day? There's been guesstimates. It's usually divided between women and men. No, y'all wanted to know that. A woman uses about 20,000 words per day, while a man uses about 7,000. Another attributes to women 6,000 to 8,000 words, while men get just 2,000 to 4,000 words. Of course, maybe to bring it back down to those, take it away from the men and the women, you may prefer this one: 10,000 words a day for a talker, and 500 words a day for a lonely farmer without even an ox to talk to. So, we may want to be the farmer for a while. Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin. And in Matthew 10:40-42, he that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth the righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. It's not meant to be recorded. A cup of water. Most of us would not consider that worth rewarding somebody. Yeah, that's pretty well shot. We wouldn't consider that. There's no effort. I mean, what did you do? Especially now. I mean, used to, you at least had to go and draw the water, but now you just flip the handle and fill the cup up. I mean, we wouldn't consider that to be much, but the Lord does. He's the one who said that the very hairs of your head are numbered. He's the one that said that there's not a sparrow that falls. He doesn't notice it. He knows when we sit down, when we get up. If you remember in Psalm 139, he goes through, said he knew you from the womb. And he knows our thoughts and our intentions. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You might have forgotten what you did yesterday. Last year might be a little fuzzy, but the Lord can rewind that camcorder that is your brain, and he can play it all back. And there's nothing missing. He knows it all. He knows what's happened. And, you know, from when I look at it, I'm like, that's kind of scary. Because I don't want to have to answer for all that. So, need to make some changes. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, we're familiar with 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 is, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're created for good works. It's not for salvation. Salvation is by grace. Time's running out quickly. I'm reading some verses in Revelation. Just listen to these verses and see if any of these fit you. I'm not going to read the whole verse on all of them. But Christ is talking to the church. Revelation 2:2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. How canst thou not, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil? Verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Verse 9, I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty. Verse 13, I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest my name, and hast not denied my faith. Verse 19, I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. Verse 23, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the minds and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. In chapter 3, verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, no man can shut, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. 15 and 16, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So, do you find yourself in any of these verses? And hopefully, it's on the good, doing the works that the Lord wants us to do. If not, what are you going to do? Colossians 3:15 and 17 is what we need to be doing. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And Colossians down in verse 22 and 25, chapter 3, he says, knowing that whatsoever you do heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So are we doing things for the Lord or for ourselves? We can even get caught up in things that are supposed to be for the church, and it may not necessarily be for us. We're just doing it because somebody asked us, because, hey, well, that makes me look a little better, or whatever. But if we're not doing it for the Lord, then it's not going to be, it's going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Some people are concerned about rewards, and that, you know, they're not concerned about rewards. They only want to get to heaven. But do I want to stand before the Lord and acknowledge that He gave His best, and I was too lazy to get off my rear end and to lay aside the pleasures of the world, the pleasures of self, and to seek after Him and to put Him first in all things with the things that He's entrusted to me. So am I being a faithful steward? Am I doing the work of the Lord? Do I have my priorities in order? Or referring back to our illustration at the beginning, or am I busy working but on the wrong things? Am I too busy cleaning tables, keeping the ice full, emptying the trash, to notice the customers the Lord set before me? The people that He brings along. We're not selling at a price. But as one person said, sales are basically you're convincing them or showing them your opinion. We're showing them what the Lord has done for us, and it's the best thing that can happen to anyone, and we need to be telling others about it. So what am I doing for the Lord? The Lord's coming, and we will give an account to Him of what we've done here in this body. If you not accept Him as your personal Savior, then you'll stand before Him at the great white throne of judgment, and you'll be judged for your works, but they'll condemn you. If your name's not written in the book of life, and the only reason it's going to be written in the book of life is because you've accepted Him as your personal Savior. Today is the day of salvation. If you've accepted Him as your personal Savior, you're given an account of what you've done for Him since He's given you a new life. Am I living for Him or am I living for self? Don't say and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and then don't do the things that He's commanded us. He's told us to die to self, pick up our cross daily, and follow Him. We're to be a living sacrifice. You've heard that the living sacrifice keeps crawling off the altar. Well, we're going to fail, and we're going to fall off. The thing is to get back up, and we want to spend more time on the altar than we do off. I have to remember that life's made up of the little things. It's the little moments. It's that time that's spent with the Lord, and then those moments make up the big things, and the stuff on the daily basis is what makes us.